Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome, everybody, the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Myself and Brandon Funston. Today, no special guest because we don't have time for a guest. We have too much to go through today to get through. And also, everybody else is busy. It's Friday. Although, Brandon wasn't that busy because your team didn't even get to pick. You were just mentioning that. You actually get to watch one tonight.
Yeah, one tonight and then like two more the rest of the way. That's it. Three picks for the Seahawks. Yeehaw.
Look. Speaking of picks and trades and that type of, we're going to get to the Aaron Rodgers situation, but this is mostly about the draft, but we're going to save that. We'll bookend that with this podcast and save it that way. But a reminder, I'll be live again tonight. Well, depending on when, I guess the afternoon, if you waited till Saturday to listen to this, but I'll be live updating the picks again. Look, we could just start with the first pick, Brandon. I mean, it was one we've talked about kind of already. We've already hit on it. So I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on Trevor Lawrence. We knew it was going to happen. We knew Trevor Lawrence was going to the Jaguars. The NFL made us wait 10 minutes just to find out. We talked about it on the other podcast. So short version, now that it's official, now that you've had 2 days to think about it since we talked to Marcus Grant about it, are you still in the top 10 potential for Lawrence, or are you seeing some of the numbers people are throwing out there projection wise and saying, you know what, maybe that's a little bit too aggressive, more aggressive than I thought?
I'm still there. I'm not going to waver. In fact, you know, you say Trevor Lawrence go into a team that we knew had James Robinson and DJ Chark and Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault. Oh, he also has this college running back now, Travis Etienne.
I thought you corrected me to Etienne. No, I've been correcting everybody to Etienne. So you were right. Okay. You were right to start. I looked it up.
That feels natural to me. Etienne. Look at man. That's just another feather in his cap. And that's a whole nother discussion we're going to have.
We're going to get right to it because there's no point in saving it and coming back around just for the order of the draft.
Don't bury the lead, which, you know, it's one of the biggest things that happened in the draft in terms of fantasy fallout, for sure.
I'm not kidding. I have my friend Mike Medina, who's never probably expected to have his name thrown out on the podcast before, was sitting here in my house as I was doing the updates. And I'm not kidding you, Brandon. I literally sat there and I was telling him about my Jacksonville Jaguars $20 bet on the Super Bowl that I told you about, up there. And I said, I'm really excited for them. And this was 30 seconds before the pick came up. And I looked at him and said, just don't ruin James Robinson. And then, boom.
They ruined James Robinson.
I dropped quite a few F-bombs. He was not as happy either because he has James Robinson in a few leagues. I would have had James Robinson with a $200 budget in my home league for $8 next year after a $3 draft bid. So let's get to that. You know what? I don't care that it's becoming commonplace, and I'm not saying this to be like, oh, I'm the first one who said it. I'm sure somebody might even beat me to the punch because I had to do a full write-up. But so the easiest way to say this is ETN and James Robinson are now their version of Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. That's the easiest way to put it for me. Yeah. There's upside with Latavius Murray. There's upside with James Robinson. We know they're RB1s when the other person gets hurt. But you don't draft, no matter what Urban Meyer said, and I put lying and strike through the line, you don't draft a running back in the first round to be your third down running back. Like, we know that's not the case. I think it's a little bit lesser version of Kamara and a little bit lesser version of Latavius Murray because it is the Jaguars and because you are taking this away. And now this is without Drew Brees. But do we say Etienne is high end RB2, James Robinson's an RB3, and just kind of de facto treat them as the slightly lesser versions of the Saints running backs?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably think of James Robinson as maybe having a higher ceiling than Latavius Murray, but then
so they kind of slot in between.
Yeah, and then Etienne having clearly not as high a ceiling as Alvin Kamara. You know, it just sucks. I mean, the best version of a running back timeshare we have in the league is Cleveland. And it's because they are willing to just completely sell out to the run. And right. that's not what Jacksonville is going to do. And, you know, these guys have, I mean, the great thing about James Robinson, you cannot ever say the, oh, he's better with lesser touches thing in fantasy. That hits like a lead balloon to me because we are a volume game. And lesser touches is not better. It never is, you know, and that's just the way, you know, that's just the way it is. So James Robinson, yeah. I mean, back end RB1, we hardly knew you, you know, it's just the way it's going to be. Another timeshare.
And we'll be honest about it too, is even if let's say James Robinson wasn't RB2 last year, let's put him in the conversation with like the Chris Carsons of the world, who we know can have RB1, but that's the side argument. Right. I'm just saying he's in that team, and Urban Meyer comes in and drafts Etienne in the first round. We'd still be having the same conversation because it's a new regime, a new head coach who comes in and drafts his guy. Urban Meyer has zero ties to James Robinson.
Right. Right, exactly. And do you think he kind of likes the idea of his rookie franchise quarterback having the familiarity of his you know college running back there as well? I think James Robinson's going to be one of those guys. He certainly appears so, and you listen to everybody in Jacksonville talk about how just what a great guy he is. What he does everything right. Like he's going to endear himself to Urban Meyer, and he's going to play himself into, you know, I think a very clear platoon, but I think that's what it is. It's like ETN's going to be more of the receiving guy, but he's going to get plenty of carries, and you know they're just going to work these guys back and forth. And you know, God forbid, it could be like a, you know, a better version of what Tampa has, you know, where you're going back and forth each better week. Like, yeah,
that would be that would be the worst. I'd actually, you know what, I'd rather take the consistency and just say it's unfortunate for James Robinson than to deal with that. I'd rather, instead of it being ETN weeks 1-2, then week 3, and then all of a sudden Carlos Hyde sneaks in for 1 week somehow because it's Carlos Hyde, or like, but I drew the comparison rookie wise. I said ETN, think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire last year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a disappointment on where people wanted to draft him because we didn't know about the Le'Veon Bell situation and people were taking him as the 7th, 8th running back off the board and that. But at the end of the season, Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the mid-level RB2, some RB1 upside weeks, some RB3 disappointing weeks. I think that's a nice outlook of what you should expect for ETN.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, and I mean, look, Jacksonville was going to draft a running back. They had terrible running back depth, and no coach wants to come in.
We were just hoping it wasn't going to be till day 3.
Right, exactly. You know, that would be, you know, if they had taken someone in day 3 that we liked, we would have had them on our sleeper list and said, you know what, they want to curb James Robinson's, you know, workload a little bit. And now they're just, you know, they're carving it in half is what they decided to do.
Oh, they just put it on a steak. What are you talking about? James Robinson's head's just out there. Thank you for murdering James Robinson, assholes. Just kidding. Exactly. Let's backtrack. You know what? We're not even going to go all the way back to the top of the draft. We'll backtrack one and go to Najee Harris. Let's talk Najee Harris because I'm supremely excited. You know this, and I'm none of you the same way. Like, we all, the fantasy community was sitting here going, get Najee Harris to the Steelers. We all see it. We all know that the Steelers, when they have the opportunity, Mike Tomlin treats his running back like a bell cow. We know that. That was part of the argument for like why we wanted to see that happen with the Dolphins, is maybe they took one early because of that. Still, Javonte Williams is sitting out there. That might happen in day 2, and we'll probably have the same excitement going on for it. The pushback, if you're following fantasy Twitter or just in general, is that look at that offensive line. And like that offensive line is trash, and that offensive line isn't doing anybody favors, and that's why nobody succeeded. And James Conner, but I push back with James Conner did succeed. James Conner just couldn't stay healthy. And Najee Harris, okay, here's where I'm at, Brandon. I say Najee Harris is a low end RB1. I think he can push the top 10 as a rookie, even with that offensive line, which by the way, their draft isn't done. But that being said, he's a low end RB1. Because of the offensive line. If the offensive line was what it was 4 years ago, we'd be saying Najee Harris, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, top 5, in my opinion. Am I crazy to say that?
No, I don't think so at all. It used to just be the most plug and play situation in football with the running back. First of all, Tomlin loves his bell cow. He always has. And, you know, they've always had great offensive lines. And, you know, you look at the draft, there's a pretty deep, you know, I think they can look at it and say there's a bigger difference between the talent after Najee Harris and maybe you throw in Javonte Williams and Travis Etienne, but like there's it's a pretty loaded tackle, you know, draft. There's guys that they can get in the second and third round. I think it maybe, you know, some years might have been, you know, borderline first rounders, but Pittsburgh's also great at developing their offensive linemen. They've had a pretty good history of that. So I think they feel like they just want to take care of, you know, the running back position, get a true franchise running back, and then they will start working on repairing the offensive line. So I think, you know, I think they made the right move. I love, and you love, we all love when needs in fantasy fall right. And this was it. You know, I look at like the three of the five wide receivers, I think fell right, you know, and most of the quarterbacks fell right as well. I mean, it was a pretty good overall draft for fantasy. The ETN one was the big screw us all over.
But punch other in the
than
gut.
That, yeah. Other than that, I mean, Kadarius Toney and with the Giants, I'm not going
to. We're going to get to that. Yeah. You know, we were going to spend a little time on the Giants. You know that. But as, like I'm saying, is the offensive line concern is baked in. That's why Harris isn't top five. That's why I'm not sitting here saying, you know what? You can make a case for Harris over an Alvin Kamara with Jameis Winston. You can make that case if you want. I'm not saying that because of the offensive line, but that's what's baked in. That's why he's low in RB1. Let's not forget these bell cow running backs. Like, it's just 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, last year we had a lot of disappointment, but we were asking for situations like this. I go back to it again. The Zeke Elliott, like, oh, he's never played it down in the NFL. Yeah, how did that work out for his first season, first couple of seasons? Saquon Barkley, you go down the list. By the way, I'm looking at round two, third and fourth pick, Falcons and Dolphins. Williams, running back, those two teams are screaming for who the Dolphins pick again at 18 too, by the way. Dolphins are going to be fun as well.
Yeah,
Dolphins are
going to be fun. But I think Williams will go early today.
That's as a fantasy selfish person. If Williams doesn't go 3 or 4, I mean, I was looking down and saying, like, looking at the team. I mean, we could just run through them real quick. Like, Eagles, no. Bengals, no, unless they want. See, that's the thing, is I'm scared something like that might happen. I know the Bengals probably go offensive line after taking Chase in the first round, but like Denver, Detroit with Swift, like San Francisco would be amazing, by the way, because he'd step in as the lead. But Dallas, like there's teams in here where the Patriots, where he could go and then be struggling to get touches, whereas the Dolphins don't pick again until the 50th pick, 18th in that round, if they don't take him with that fourth pick.
Yeah, I think the Bengals can wait. I feel like they want their Geo replacement, and there seems to be a decent amount of those guys that they could probably get in the middle and in late rounds. So,
Michael Carter.
Yeah, Michael Carter.
The other one.
He'd be
That'd be interesting.
Another UNC. Geo was from North Carolina as well.
That's true. Yeah, good call on that one. They just keep going back to the well. All right, let's go all the way back up. Zach Wilson. We already touched on him on the show too. So, this is another one we don't need to spend a lot of time on. The only thing I added that we didn't talk about with Marcus on Wednesday in my write-up is I, again, drew the comparisons to Daniel Jones and Jameis Winston, the decision-making, but you like his aggressiveness. He's got better arm than Daniel Jones, as we've seen, because we've seen the rollout and the throw down. We've seen that play a million times. I said, what could be interesting here, and you know this, Brandon, because we talked about it on the free agency write-up show. I said, I have concerns about Corey Davis being the number one. Like, I think the reason Corey Davis succeeded is because he got that pressure taken off of him. I don't think, as much as I thought coming out of college he could be, I think at this point of watching him, we had that whole 1A, 1B discussion with Beller, like that whole, like, what's a 1B? Like, we did that whole thing.
Yes.
I said the sneaky thing here could be Denzel Mims in season two for letting Corey Davis draw that attention. Then all of a sudden Denzel Mims sneaks out as maybe a Will Fuller type.
Yeah, well, a little bit more of a power forward Will Fuller type. I love Denzel Mims, and I actually think Zach Wilson, this is a good marriage. I'm going to be having a lot of Denzel Mims. I think that, you know, because of injury and because of situation, we didn't get to see him flourish in his rookie year, but there were definitely moments that he had where he showed what his talent is. And I was high on him going into the draft. So I'm going to be willing to go back to that well with him and just, you know, trust that this new regime kind of helps and this new quarterback kind of helps him along.
I'm definitely with you. So let's get to new quarterback. And we finally got the clarity. By the way, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on the show, Victory Lap. You're welcome, everybody, plus 450, plus 550, if you listen to me on the Trey Lance bet with the 49ers. By the way, friend of the show, I'm not going to call out the person's name who was texting me last night. What they should they look at Mac Jones, who had plus money? He moved to plus money last night. I was like, I still want to make the pick. I don't believe it. I am on Trey Lance. So, haha, everybody. But seriously. So, Trey Lance, San Francisco. I don't think any of us expect him to start out of the gate. Be like this. The funny thing is, we heard all those Jimmy Garoppolo trade rumors. And, but what we said, and I say we said it on the show. I'm not, this isn't the victory lap portion. It's that we were saying that Trey Lance, if he was the 49ers option, that makes sense to hold on to Garoppolo and let Lance sit and learn. So, do you expect, I got a two part this question for you, Brandon. Do you expect Lance to see the field as a, without injury, do you expect him to see the field as a starter as a rookie? And then part two, now that we know, and we're going to get to where Fields went, now that we know where the five quarterbacks went, where would you put Lance in Dynasty?
This is, you know, this is almost like the Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick situation, right? Like, I think San Francisco is good enough with Jimmy Garoppolo that they could be one of the best teams in football, you know, and then the decision is going to have to be, well, do we have a higher ceiling with Trey Lance? Do we need to get him going? Or do we just ride out this year with Jimmy G and, you know, do some kind of Mahomes thing where you give, and again, that was another Alex Smith situation where you give Trey Lance like the last start of the year and then you move on to him the following year. But, that's what it feels like. And I'm cracking up because it was a chorus of head coaches saying Cam Newton's still our starter. Andy Dalton's still our starter. We still want Jimmy G here, you know, and it's, you know, it's the same deal as Anthony Lynn said last year when they had Tyrod and Justin Herbert comes in and Tyrod Taylor's still our starter, you know, of course.
Wait. So you're saying the medical staff's going to stab him in the chest?
I don't know about that, but these things have a way of working themselves out towards the rookie at some point. But I think in San Francisco, it's going to be very interesting. We can see Jimmy G still start the majority of the season. I would not be shocked by that at all. I do want to say this, though. Do you believe that Mac Jones was their guy initially? And
nope.
The reason? No. Okay.
No.
That, because that.
So here's why.
The trade from 12 to 3.
Was always Trey Lance.
Had to be. Otherwise,
because here's what I'm saying,
you got Mac Jones at 12 and then you gave up two future first rounders to
that's why. And so when I tried to explain the smokescreen in the draft, in the betting picks of why I would do the Trey Lance was to say it made no sense to create a smokescreen unless you just weren't sure what the Jets were going to do, which you never know. Like, I know they were sitting there the entire time saying Zach Wilson, but there was report upon report upon report that the 49ers are going to be Mac Jones. So what if, and this is the scenario I painted out, and obviously it's hindsight, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I said if the Jets had one, a Trubisky-type offer come their way, and they said, well, we don't see a big disparity between the next three quarterbacks, we'll move down to 6 or 7 or whoever what it was, and take the draft capital and then still go get Fields or still go get Mac Jones. So you don't want the number two pick to be Trey Lance. And that was the only way it made sense to make a smokescreen. But what you said was the biggest thing that always made sense the entire time. Mac Jones was going to be there at 12.
Right.
So you don't trade up if Mac Jones is your guy. So that's why I never really believed it was Mac Jones.
Yeah. And if you thought there was a really good chance he'd be there at 12, then maybe you move up to 7, you know, to Detroit 10? Or something, you know, and
yeah.
Say, okay, I don't need to give up two future first rounders. We'll give up one and, you know,
or do like what the Eagles did, which we're going to get to, like that with the wide receiver situation. All right, now we see he's there, but let's make that small move. But all right, let's do that. Let's finish off the quarterbacks and then we'll come back off to the regular position. So Justin Fields. So two things here. First of all, Dave Gettleman traded down.
I know. Look at
it
that.
Only took.
And he got a good deal. He got a good deal.
He got a good deal. I will give him credit.
I guess these things have like a chart and they have to be in a certain, you know, I mean, everybody kind of gets close to the same range.
I have officially, it's funny, it's a net neutral because I 100% give him credit for trading down. We'll get to the pick later on.
Yeah, so exactly.
But Justin Fields falls to the Bears. Kudos on the Bears. You did it right. The NFL did it wrong. I still, you know how I feel about Justin Fields. Allen Robinson now definitively has his best quarterback ever. You said the one thing I wanted to get to, Andy Dalton's the starter. No, he's not. He's not. Justin Fields is the starter, especially because you traded up for him. We've talked about this, and you didn't answer the question with Lance, so let's bring Fields into it. You said this on Wednesday, that you could see Fields being your number two, potentially even number one, because of the rushing upside. So dynasty quarterbacks only, rank them. I'm assuming Mac Jones is fifth, but rank the top four and tell me how excited you are, a rookie only, even, as his first season for Fields with the Bears.
I'll still go Lawrence. I just love all of his weapons now. The Bears don't have – they have Allen Robinson. I mean, Cole Kmet's interesting. Darnell Mooney's interesting.
I was going to say, don't poo-poo Mooney.
I'm not, but they're just you know, I don't think they're on the level as what Trevor Lawrence has to work with. And
you did the same thing I did. Are we assuming Anthony Miller is going to be gone?
Yeah, well,
he's still
now. I've heard that. I mean, I've heard, you know, local reporters and stuff say that that's going to be the case, or believe that will be the case. Either way, you know what? It's very close. I mean, we got to give Lawrence credit. He'll probably run a little bit as well, but Justin Fields, that's really kind of where it's at. Is he a 500-yard rusher? Is he an 800-yard rusher? That could be the swing. Yeah, and that could be the swing. And if he is an 800-yard rusher, then I'm wrong. Then it needs to be Justin Fields, number one.
So, but that's the thing. It's okay.
So then to really quickly, I would go Trey Lance and Dynasty.
Three.
Yeah. And then I would go, then I would go
Wilson. Then Zach Wilson and then Mac Jones.
Yeah.
That's certainly fair. So you wouldn't be upset if somebody was like, I'm taking Fields over Lawrence.
No, not at all.
I'm with you on that. I see. I'm with you in the fact that I still lean on Lawrence, but it's so close because I do believe in the rushing upside. My only concern, honestly, I'll put it this way. If you put Justin Fields on the 49ers, I would say I'm taking Justin. Like, I would definitively take Justin Fields. My hesitancy is the Bears ruining Justin Fields. That's right. My hesitancy.
Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and then, you know, do embarrassed things. Yeah, I mean, they're close enough that it is situationally dependent in my mind. Like, it is, like, if you give Justin Fields the better situation, then I'm on Justin Fields. I think they're that close. And I just think Trevor Lawrence is in the better situation.
So last one, Mac Jones falls to the Patriots. And I'm just glad, like, I don't even hate the Patriots. I'm a Giants fan, and the Patriots don't bother me. Like, they never had. My dad's a quote-unquote Patriots fan. I say quote-unquote because he barely pays attention to sports. He's Red Sox and Patriots, which makes no sense because he's Red Sox and Patriots, and then he's Rangers and Knicks. Like, what the hell happened to you growing up? Like, did you have internal conflict? You're like, what? And I have no idea what happened with my dad. But anyway, if I was going to be pissed off if Justin Fields fell to him just because it's like, you know, it's the rich getting richer situation. Like, how did you let this happen? Like,
yeah,
so
we didn't, you didn't get a wallow in being a bad team long enough, and you don't deserve to get Justin Fields handed to you. Okay. Can I say something really quick? I thought I had about a, 5% chance thought that we were going to see one of the greatest moments in NFL draft history with the Jets trading up in front of the Patriots to take a second quarterback in the first round. To just make certain that one of them wouldn't be a bust, but also screw the Patriots in their division. God, I was like, okay, that's not going to happen. But it's a weird spot for the Jets to trade, you know? Like, so if that didn't happen, that would have been amazing, though.
Yeah, let's not go down the Washington team. I was about to say their old name at the time because it was the Griffin Cousins. But that was at least – Cousins was round three. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was round
three or four. Three. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah, so that's a whole different – but anyway, so Mac Jones – I think the easy comparison, a lot of people go back to Andy Dalton's. People were making the Andy Dalton comparison, but for fantasy purposes, people forget Andy Dalton was a fringe QB1 and actually a QB1 two or three times. I don't remember how many off the top of my head. So that's an easy, and it's really fun to bring it up to date. I said Mac Jones for me is expect Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr typeness, like in that 15 to 18 range. Maybe in his best season, he might sneak into QB 11 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, and the weird thing is he has a lot of Brady traits. Like, so I was listening to Pete Schrager talk from the NFL network, talk about how big tennis has been in his family. Like his mom and dad were like big time tennis players. His brother.
Where's this going? I'm so curious to find out where this is going.
Well, that Mac Jones grew up playing a lot of tennis. If you think about tennis, the footwork that he gets lauded for.
Okay.
Footwork.
Okay.
And in, while not being, I mean, he ran a 4.8, which is not terrible for a quarterback.
I mean, did you not see his sprint walk to the stage?
I know. My God. I was like, good Lord. I actually, yeah, I commented out loud. And, but he has really good footwork. He has good feel in the pocket. And he's tremendously accurate in the short area. They can do a lot of the things that they did with Tom Brady. And I would not be surprised if they kind of just reprise that sort of offense. Not that they went away from it a whole lot, but they just kind of went away from offense altogether last year. And I think that can change this year. I, you know, he's not going to get me too excited, but can he be a back end QB two? Yeah, sure.
Could he even be that as a rookie with those weapons, though? That's the question. I mean, you're looking at,
well,
this,
if
this is their depth chart right
short
now.
Area, Nelson, if you're going Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith over and over and over again.
Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah. I mean, the short area stuff. I mean, that's maybe they had this in mind when they went and got their two, you know, good tight ends.
The accuracy. That's what we were talking about for the longest time. All right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Mac Jones, it's over. Quarterback. So let's go all the way up. Kyle Pitts, Atlanta said best player. We don't care that we already have Hayden Hurst. And I don't care that they have Hayden Hurst either. Because you know why? Hayden Hurst can block. Guess what? Yeah. He's going to be doing a hell of a lot now.
Guess what? Hayden Hurst used to block for, and Mark Andrews used to make all the plays. So Hayden Hurst, it's like deja vu all over again.
It is. And I said, for all intents and purposes, Kyle Pitts is the number three receiver. Whether you want to call him a wide receiver, whatever you want to call him, tight, whatever the hell you want to call him. And Mike Clay of ESPN, he put out his projections last night, and what was it off the top of my head? I remember it's like 700 yards or somewhere around that, 800 yards, whatever it was. I totaled it out. This is the important part. The numbers that Mike Clay gave him, which I thought arguably were a little bit low, were tight end 8 last year. Tight end 8 for...
I'm guessing that we will both have him ranked higher than tight end 8.
And that's where I was going to go with it. I want to say, I know it was 64 receptions because I remember half for half PPR was 32, and that's what I added to his yards. Because it was 700 yards because it got him to 109 or 10 something like that.
It depends on where I end up. Like right now I have Hawkinson 5. That spot's up for
grabs.
That's
dicey.
Right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm putting Pitts above Mark Andrews and making the top 4, but he could be number 5 for me. He's 5 or 6 probably when it's all said and done.
Because as soon as you get to 5, it's kind of a mess. Yeah, Hawkinson was fine, as we talked about on the show, and then they ruined everything by sending away Stafford.
Right. Yeah. Why not chase that upside at that point, you know? And then if it doesn't work out, then maybe, I don't know, Gerald Everett, somebody that, you know, it doesn't go in the top 12 is someone you turn to during the year. There'll be guys, right? There'll be guys that emerge.
And that was the whole reason I even said that when we did our way too early mock draft. And you remember, I took him as like, what, tight end 11, tight end 10, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And you just made the argument, I'll make it tight end. I know we've sat here and said, you know, that second tight end group is usually the one that busts at the Ingrams, the OJ Howards, the like the blah, blah, blah. I mean, Hayden Hurst this past year, he was in that group. But at the same time, we're doing it for a reason, because on the flip side, there's names in there that did. And then there's names that you just said is, if it does bust, well, then you grab a Robert Tonyan or a Logan Thomas or something. It's tight end. You're shooting for upside. You're not shooting to come away with tight end 11, because what is tight end 11? 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. Who cares?
Right. Yeah.
So, yay, Kyle Pitts. So we're excited about this. So let's talk to these wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase was wearing the Bengals cleats. I immediately changed my mock draft. I said, I believe it. I believe that's it. You don't rock colors of a team to a draft, no matter the fact that Joe Burrow is on the team. You just don't do that with the chance that you're going to a different team. So Ja'Marr Chase, I'm going to bring in the big three, because let's attack them all at the same time. Because Chase ends up at Cincinnati. Waddle ends up on Miami. Devontae Smith, the Eagles jumped the Giants knowing how much they love, because Gettleman's such a good job of keeping secrets that everybody knew the Giants wanted Waddle or Smith. And the Eagles did the right thing. They said, well, screw you. We're taking them. Interdivision or inter, well, yeah, division trade, which,
oh, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it does happen. But here's the thing. Chase creates an amazing, I'm pointing at my thing on the screen. Chase creates a wonderful trio for the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Waddle, another great trio for Tua in that situation.
And a Devontae's, slot. I mean, you can put him in the slot and you can run Fuller and Devontae on the outside. It fits very well.
It does. And Chase fits very well because you keep Boyd in the slot and you run Higgins and Chase on the outside. Devontae Smith, though, of these three, I think walks into the best rookie situation if you're talking redraft only, because he is definitively the one or the two from this is, I'm going to compare it. Now, he's not Justin Jefferson, but he's walking into that volume. He's walking into 100-plus targets. It's going to be Smith and Rager. And that's yeah. What the appeal here is. I like Chase as the best receiver. I like Waddle just as much, if not a little bit more, than Devontae Smith. If you want to talk dynasty, I'll take Chase. If you want to talk dynasty, I might still take Waddle. But I say might in the fact that Devontae Smith for redraft, and because of his landing spot, is right there with them because of that. The volume is just going to be there.
It is. I mean, you can look at the, you know, the receivers for the Eagles before Smith, and you're not 100% sure that any of them are good. Like Jalen Reagor was, you know, he was injured and it was a spotty rookie year. He may not be that good. He may be good, but he may not be that good. We don't know yet.
I still believe he is. I'm going to have a lot of Jalen Reagor this year.
It's inconclusive, but we know the rest of the group. I mean, Travis Fulgham was like a hot 15 minutes and then he was. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry. I won't diss on him too much.
No. I mean, it's like, there's many times we can get Fulgham's name mentioned. I was the first one to say, don't, as soon as they starts getting number one attention, get off the train. Like I love the kid, but let's, you know, we have to be, that's our job. We have to be honest about talent, and not everybody can be a number one or even a number two in the NFL.
Right. So then it's just like, how much do you believe in Jalen Hurts? But I'm with you on,
and we're reuniting all these kids with their,
I know that quarterbacks. Was crazy. I mean, that was crazy. Those three we just mentioned there all, you know, played college together with the quarterback that they went to. It's pretty amazing. So, I'm with you. I think Devontae Smith is probably in the best situation. Although, you know, Jamar Chase basically inherits AJ Green's 100 and some targets with his college quarterback. I mean,
you're right.
I was, if they didn't go Jamar Chase, I was probably going to be top 12 on T Higgins at wide receiver. Like I just was going to be all in. Now it's a bummer. I have to pump the brakes on that, but that they'll still both be very good.
So that's where I was going to go real quickly with that is two things here. One is, should we start talking about Joe Burrow as a potential QB1? Two, is T Higgins the one that's hurt the most by these three wide receivers?
Well, I think T Higgins, you kind of have to think of as basically close to what he was last year. You know, I just plug and play Chase's or Green's 100 and whatever it was, 4-9 targets, whatever. Those are Chase's. Maybe it fluctuates a little bit, maybe because Higgins is in his second year and, you know, it hits the ground running in week one, his targets go up a little bit. So maybe you project him. What was he like, mid 20s at wide receiver last year? Wasn't he kind of like
27?
Yeah. So I'm probably putting him in the low 20s and making him a back end wide receiver too. And I might put Chase kind of maybe 27. Like I'll probably have Higgins ranked ahead of Chase just because of the rookie versus the second year guy. But I think they're going to be very, very close together, and they'll probably be right in that back end wide receiver two range.
I think we could see very much a Carolina of last year type of situation.
Yeah.
Where they all finish somewhere between wide receiver 20 and wide receiver 30. And
including Tyler Boyd, right? Like he's Curtis Samuel.
There. And that's where I was going to go with it. Yeah, Curtis Samuel, but Curtis Samuel just ruins my argument because I don't think he's going to, because I was going to say more probably Robbie Anderson for Tyler Boyd. Again, different players, but I think he might end up being the most consistent of the three just because he's going to have that slot volume and, you know, they run three wide among the best in the league and among the most in the league where I could see Higgins is the kind
of.
Well,
then we're just, I mean, look, it's a Rams offense. So we just go back to Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, you know, it's like, I mean,
or even the Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah. Deontay and Chase. Yeah. I mean, we see it happen all
Boyd
the time.
Boyd is I think Boyd would be the Deontay in that one.
Yeah. Even though he's running the Juju role.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel, you know, as of today, we've got a few months, but I feel like Boyd might be the most consistent. But, you know, it'd be interesting. I could see Chase just being the best by the middle of the season. Just get this.
I think the point is that you're going to end up kind of having to put all these guys very closely in your rankings next to each other.
Yes. 100% agree with you. All right. So let's get back to those Giants. look, again, I just kudos Gettleman on the trade down. And I know I'm mixing some real NFL into this, but we're going to be talking Aaron Rodgers anyway. But the thing with the Kadarius Toney is it's not that I don't like Kadarius Toney. You know this. You edited my column. Kadarius Toney was in my tier two. He was actually the first name I mentioned in tier two. Mm-hmm. Not that that means a whole lot because they're all grouped together. But my point being about value and return on investment, you're sitting there in round two. The Moors are still on the Moops are still on the board. The Moors are still on the board. You still have Terrace Marshall on the board. You still have who else is still out there? There's a few more. The point being is Toney versus what was going to be there at wide receiver is about the same compared to there were Quiddy Pay was on the board. Darisaw was on the board. You could talk about, again, go back to those wide receivers that were still sitting there. There was needs. The kid from, I'm not going to get, Owusu Kamara,
the linebacker.
Inexplicably fell out of the first round, which was just shocking. I feel like the Isaiah Simmons situation messed him up. Is that because they don't know where to put him? Is that after seeing what happened with Simmons, I think that worries some people. But anyway, point being is the drop off from what was there at other positions is why I don't like the Toney situation. And then for fantasy, to compound this issue, Brandon, is he going to get 60 targets? I mean, like, we have, they brought in Galladay, Slayton, which I know Slayton's job is now at risk, but Slayton is outside. Toney is not. Toney, I compare to Christian Kirk. Like, he can succeed a little bit outside, but he's not equipped to be the outside guy. And now you go back to, well, if that's the case, Sterling Shepard. Well, Sterling Shepard's the same thing. You don't really want Sterling Shepard being primarily outside. Sterling Shepard was amazing at the slot.
Is he a free agent next year?
No, but they have a $4 million dead cap out on him next year. He's probably gone.
Galladay is a 1 year deal, right? So
no, Galladay is a full on contract.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. I'm getting mixed up with
Will Fuller.
Will Fuller, yeah.
Was Will Fuller?
Yeah, Will
Fuller
is a 1 year deal.
Yeah, and Juju Smith-Schuster is 1 year.
Yeah. Okay. I was just thinking that maybe I was thinking in my mind Galladay's 1 year.
No, Shepard. I mentioned this too. Shepard. I have this in the write up. Shepard's probably gone because. Mm-hmm. He's a 10.5, I think, if I remember correctly, 10.5 cap hit next year, but $4 million to get rid of him.
And
so,
you know, you're paying him for three DMPs every year as well.
Right. Well, and also the Giants have six other players invested $107 million before you. So if you include Sterling Shepard, it's seven players at 117. He's gone next year. Like, that's just like, let's be real about it. So does that give you a little bit of hope for? Well, here's the flip argument, though. If Daniel Jones doesn't succeed, by the way, all excuses are gone. Yeah, Daniel Jones might not even be the quarterback next year because if he fails,
Sam Howell,
he's gone.
Sam Howell, the guy that we need to learn about
they
right
would
now.
Have to, I think they would have to have the number one pick because next year's draft class is so weak at quarterback that Howell might be the number one.
And then you're not going to see a rush on quarterback.
All right, so tell me what you thought about the Toney pick. I mean, you can tell I'm not thrilled about it. It's just,
well,
again,
we put everything in a fantasy lens and you can't get excited about that, you know.
That's like, the biggest thing too.
The thing about Toney that was interesting is there's so many of these kind of Curtis Samuel types that were 5'9" in this draft, you know, and then he's pushing 6 foot. I think Curtis Samuel's a very good comparison in my mind. I've heard Percy Harbin, you know. But that's an interesting, but it's one of those ones I think it was a pick for 2022. I don't think this was a pick for 2021. This is like, we would like you to come in and like you to learn from Sterling Shepard, watch, you know, and get some experience. But we're, you know, our whole plan is that we expect you to be, you know, rolling next year. And this year is just going to be a complete, you know, learning situation. So talent, can't deny the talent. If they're going to have a few bodies leave in 2022, then it makes some sense. But yeah, maybe the position adding this guy makes sense. Maybe not where they added him.
Yeah. So the value. And then, as you said, we look through a fantasy lens and it's hurting at least of now. I mean, as you said, let's say Daniel Jones does succeed and become, let's throw out the one, he's the next Josh Allen, because everybody's the next Josh Allen.
What's a successful season for Daniel Jones this year from a reality standpoint?
Reality?
What makes them think that they can move forward with Daniel Jones as their guy?
If you have these weapons and nobody misses more than a game or two, let's just say 14 plus for everybody. Yeah. 14 plus for everybody. If Daniel Jones doesn't throw for 4,500 yards and 30 plus touchdowns, that's a fail.
And what's the record have to be?
At least I don't care about the record. That's the one thing I don't care about. This, I always
9-8. It's so weird to do 17 game schedule now in your head. You know, it used to be.
Look,
so-
I was gonna say even 7-10 because the thing that got brought up on the draft show, and that I don't like to steal from them too much, but I think it was Kuiper who said this. Yeah, I think he said it even twice. Is everybody was saying, "Oh, Lawrence lost to Ohio State." It's like he said what I've said, and that's why I'm echoing him, because I've said it before. Quarterbacks don't lose games. The teams lose games, and he went up against a team who offensively was putting up a hell of a lot and defensively played a great game, and he still looked good. So I'm not going to put the record on Daniel Jones is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah. I guess the turnovers would be a big part of it too.
Yes.
If he could manage one turnover or less, on average,
Don't pull a Jameis Winston.
12 interceptions and 5 fumbles. You could live with that, or something like that.
We're doing the 30 for 30 on Daniel Jones.
Exactly. 30 turnovers. That's right.
All right. So two more things before we get out of here. One more player and then Aaron Jones real quick for everybody. Rashad Bateman was the last kill pick that we had to Baltimore. Great. I see.
I love Rashad Bateman. I was so bummed about that pick.
That's where I was going to go with
die.
This. That's what I'm going to say. It's like, are we that upset? Because, and I'll give you, I'll tell you, I'm not going to bury the lead. I said great receiver, not the greatest landing spot. But it's not all bad, because here's the difference. Marquise Brown, you want more as the big play, get downfield. Lamar Jackson can use somebody to get, Willie Snead was a thing a couple times because he doesn't really have that. And I'm not saying Willie Snead's not the quick open guy. I'm saying he doesn't have an uber talented quick open guy. Now he does. Rashad Bateman's going to get open like that. His biggest problem is if you ask him to run more routes outside and deal with press coverage, bump coverage, man to man and stuff like that. That's where he can learn and develop. Sure, down the field. But right now, boom, open, boom, open. But I know the attempts is the issue. The passing attempts for Lamar Jackson. So I say he's wide receiver 3/4. I think there's upside here. I actually think he could perform better and have a better season than Marquise Brown, even as a rookie. You don't see him as excited.
I'm not. It's all about Greg Roman and his lack of, his schemes and his creativity is nil. Marquise Brown's a guy that should be moving around like crazy, and they don't do that, And look at Miles Boykin. It's been a big bust, but that guy has massive amount of talent. If you put him somewhere else, you wouldn't not hear from him ever, right? I'm sure.
I think his skill set is wasted for their offense.
Yeah, I think receiver skill sets are wasted for this offense because first, it's Greg Roman's lack of imaginative, creativity in the schemes. Second, it's a very run heavy system. Third, it's Lamar Jackson loves to throw across the middle of the field, and Mark Andrews is typically his guy.
Right. Well, that's where I think Bateman can make some noise.
I think it's just like Marquise Brown. It's like, yeah, he's been fine for fantasy at times. I just think that's always going to be the case with these Ravens receivers in this offense. They're going to be fine at times, but consistency goes out the door. And I loved Devin Duvernay. I was like, this guy led college in
screen. I remember you loved Devin
Duvernay. And he can run a 4.3. And, man, give Lamar Jackson just a quick little – option to throw the screen to this guy and let him do his work. And they never even explored that. That gets back to Greg Roman. And I think if they ever were to change their offensive coordinator, then I might be interested, but I think,
and that's where I'll push back a little bit in the fact that, this, I wasn't the biggest Duvernay guy. And yeah. I think maybe it's the rose colored glasses side of things of Bateman versus Duvernay in my mind and Bateman versus what they've had. I think we all would have said we would love to see Bateman on somewhere like the Titans instead, but I don't think it's as bad as everybody's making out to be. I understand it's still a poor situation. To be honest with you, I think this might ding Mark Andrews a little bit. where Mark Andrews could potentially have gotten back to the Darren Waller level, I think it kind of limits that upside there. And yeah, I agree with you. Boykin's being wasted. But before we get out of here, Brandon.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers. And the only reason we bring this up is, you know, Aaron Rodgers wanted out, apparently. I mean, this broke yesterday. This is all anybody was talking about yesterday, myself included. You know, Aaron Rodgers wants out. Packers going to look to trade him. Packers don't want to trade him. Everybody tried to make offers. They didn't want to listen to any of them. This is where I'm going to go with it, because as of today, they're digging their heels in. Aaron Rodgers probably already did. He's the angriest man in the world right now. And then to cap it all off, what do the Packers do in the first round? They don't take a wide receiver. They take a corner. Aaron Rodgers, let me put it this way. This is the question people have to ask, and this is where I was going to go with it, Brandon. It's not whether or not we believe he's traded. In Dynasty, in Keeper, if you're sitting on Aaron Rodgers, do you get out now? And the fact that he might even just pull a screw you, I'm going to go host Jeopardy, or
a Carson Palmer and just retire. Yeah. You know?
Carson Palmer was sitting on $60 million, said, I don't need to play anymore. I got money.
Right.
Are you that worried that it might head in that direction? I mean, for a different reason, we could be talking about the Le'Veon Bell holdout. We could talk about a holdout because he just doesn't want to anymore and get what you can get. Or are you on the flip side and you're sitting there, I'm going to go trade for Aaron Rodgers because I do think he plays and I can get him at a discount?
I think he plays. It's coming off an MVP season. I mean, I know he has a lot of other things going on. I think Jeopardy really kind of wants Ken Jennings, so I'll be honest with you. I think that's I think that's their guy for the long haul. But yeah, I mean, clearly he wants to get to the West Coast. He wants to finish out his career the way he did. And this is all Green Bay's making. You take Jordan Love in the first round when Aaron Rodgers was 35, 36. I mean, you got Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees playing into their 40s. If you take Jordan Love as a first round pick, you're saying that he's going to be your guy at least sometime in the first 3 years. You want to give him a full year to play before you have to decide whether you want to, you know, re-up his contract. And like your window, this is what these teams want to do, is they want to get really good in the quarterback's, you know, first contract window, because you can build a whole bunch of guys around him without him to pay the quarterback a ton of money. So you're basically saying, Aaron Rodgers, we got a couple of years left with you anyways, and then we're going to transition. That's a big slap in the face. You know, just like never taking a first round receiver is a slap in the face. Although they've had a lot of success in the second round with Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. So maybe we'll
get him today.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see. Who knows? I don't know. An Elijah Moore or somebody.
If he won't last 30 picks. Yeah.
That's
the problem, is they're picking deep enough into the second round where that's where I could get to the argument of, okay, you should have done it in the first, unlike the Giants, because the Giants are picking 10th. They're picking 30th. The difference is that next tier could be cleaned out by the time you get to 30.
Well, maybe Rondale Moore. I mean, that would be a nice little slot weapon for him as well. But yeah, I just always have a hard time thinking that a guy who's coming off one of his best years of his career is just ready to kind of just walk off into
throw
the
it
sunset.
In.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's an angry man.
I'm sure he's going to try as much as he can to get, you know, somewhere west with him and Shailene Woodley, his fiance.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with her?
No.
She's from one of those YA novels turned movie series.
Oh really?
Yeah. You'll know who she is but I forget the name of the series. I'm at a loss right now. if you want to talk, I can look it up, but you've probably heard of it. It's one of those YA novel movie, you know, franchises that they have.
I'm looking at, like, as we're doing this live to close out the thing, let's find out what. Well, she's modeling. Should we get Molly at the age of 4? There you go, by the way. Where's IMDb? Here we go. IMDb. Everybody sitting at home probably knows exactly what show you're talking about. Big Little Lies?
Nope. It's like 3 movies that were from a YA novel.
Divergent?
Divergent, yep. The Divergent series. There you go. Have you heard of
it? Was there 3 of those?
Yeah, there were. They got progressively worse, but and the first one wasn't that great. So
was Divergent the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, here you go. Divergent, Insurgent, Allegiant.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Never knew. Hey, look, you learned something.
These are first world problems for Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's got the Hollywood actress wife. He's had a, you know, he's had a nice trail of actress. Yeah. Or fiance.
We'll see. Because Olivia Munn, that never made it to life.
Yeah, NFL MVP. He's got a good life. We can't feel too bad for Aaron Rodgers.
And now that we wasted all our time talking about Aaron Rodgers' personal life.
It's all right. We can edit some of that dead air time out.
No, we'll just deal with it. It's too bad.
Exactly.
It's at the end of the pod.
You made it this far.
Exactly.
Here's the
little nugget before you get out of here. Riley White gave his blessing for Kyle Pitts to wear 84 and said he hopes he becomes a Hall of Famer. So
I miss you, Roddy White. Good guy. Loved
best fantasy because he said, if I'm not practicing, don't play me. He's like,
oh yeah, he's helping us out too. Good guy.
I miss Roddy White. I do too. All right, Brandon. What is your Twitter handle anyway? I don't remember.
It's very easy to remember.
One Be Fun. I realized back in the day, I was trying to remember if you changed it. Because then I think about your Slack handle, and that's so I get confused. But anyway, if anybody wants to follow Brandon, I'll be doing a lot more live tonight. And I don't know what, Brandon, are you going to be watching?
Are you doing all skill positions again for the round two? When
100% round two, 100% round three, 100 maybe around four. And then round five is usually where I start doing bulk updates, like three or four players at a time.
Cherry picky. Oh, you're going to do them all, but you're just going to.
Oh, yeah, I do all of them. I do every single one. It's just I start to do like the bulk updates. It's just that mostly because it's going so fast. If it's like wide receiver, D line, wide receiver, tight end, like and there's no way I can because there's now only 5 minutes between picks.
Just the first round went pretty fast. It was like 4 hours. I was like, man, I was expecting.
Yeah, but they didn't start till almost 9 o'clock. So we were sitting there at midnight.
I like Kings of Leon, but please get them off the stage and let's get this thing going. You know. That was crazy.
That was insane. It was insanity. And then we already had the Jaguars, and then we waited another 10 minutes. We waited another 10 minutes for Zach Wilson. Like, that was absurd. The draft intentionally didn't even start till like 8:40.
Yeah. And then what was the Justin Fields trade? And that's when they started doing those like public service announcement things when they were walking to the podium. Like, for the love of God, just give us the pick. We can start after this one, but terrible timing on this. Everybody's like, oh, the big trade. Oh, it's going to be Justin Fields.
Well, yeah, they're like, oh, by the way, we have this. Yeah, we get it.
You know, it's important messaging, but could have picked a better time.
Thanks for a lack of sleep, NFL. We appreciate it. But we're going to be tuning in. Hey, we love it. We're going to be tuning in again tonight. We'll be tuning in. Hopefully you will be next week when we're back. We'll do a recap of all the rest of the draft and talking about Dynasty, or we're going to do a rookie draft. We have a lot of stuff going on. So make sure you're back for that. Still, though, Michael Beller, but we have a guest on our Tuesday podcast. So stay tuned. We'll be back on Tuesday. See ya.